Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
I want to share a story about Easter. And it might be a little different than any Easter story you've ever heard about, but I want to take you to Luke chapter 15. There's a story Jesus is teaching, or a story that is told in this narrative, this historical narrative. And I want to take a look at it. Would you take a look at it with me? It says in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Today, I want to talk about this man who welcomes sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, the religious people, they misunderstood why Jesus came to earth. They were the religious people. Obviously, Jesus shows up to hang out with us, but when Jesus shows up and he hangs out with different people besides just them, the us four no more, they were surprised and they said, "What? Why does this man welcome? What does welcome sinners mean?" It means that sinners belong around Jesus. It means come on in, sit down. There's no fences. There's no boundaries. There's no social distancing when it comes to Jesus going, "Hey, wait a second here. There's a pandemic." No, he's above pandemics. And he goes, "Hey, come here. I want to welcome you. There's no take a number. There's no application." He welcomes sinners. I was thinking about two of the most profound events that shaped my life were when I was at Easter weekend at my uncle's. My uncle was a pig farmer, a hog farmer in the Midwest, and I was at his house for spring break and Easter break, and he called me up and said, "Hey, Mark," he says, I want to take you out to lunch. It's my birthday. You want to join me with some buddies?" I said, "Sure." So we hopped in his pig farm, and he's a pig farmer, so I hopped in his truck. He'd been feeding hogs all morning. And I don't know if you know this, but when you hang around pigs and pig farms in Minnesota, you smell like pigs and pig farms in Minnesota. And so I'm in his truck, and I mean, he smells. The truck smells. I'm in there, and we drive into a bar. And I'm a Bible college student. I'm thinking, like, I don't really frequent bars, hang out with bars. But we walk into a bar, and it was a weird experience for me. Because in this situation, I see Dick, it's my uncle, and a banker walks in with a three-piece suit, and then another farmer buddy walks in with his farming clothes on, and then a teacher walks in with just a pair of khakis and a nice button-up and a sweater, and then there's a preacher. Right? There's a teacher and a preacher and a banker and a couple hog farmers there, and when Dick walked in and his buddies walked in, the bartender said, "Hey, round on me for Dick. It's his birthday," and everyone cheers. And meanwhile, I looked over at the bar, and there's a guy bellied up to the bar, pouring his guts out to the bartender. He's talking about his wife who left him and how life was, he was drunk and inebriated by noon and totally drunk at noon. And I was thinking, you know, this is a unique setting. There's somebody who's pouring his guts out to a bartender, and then there's someone celebrating with someone over a birthday. And I never felt uncomfortable there. I ordered a Coke, but it doesn't matter what I ordered, but I felt like I fit in there. In fact, I felt like I fit in there more than I did. And the other story that illustrates church to me is when I went to a football game. I'm a Pac-12 fan. I love Oregon State Beavers. And for some of you watching online, you know that means I've walked through a lot of losing seasons. And one year, it was in 2001, Oregon State went to the Fiesta Bowl. But that year we played University of Washington Huskies in Washington and in Seattle. And I was living near Seattle. So I went to the game with a buddy, invited me, and I wear bright orange and black, and he's wearing purple and gold. And we sit in a purple and gold cell in part of the stadium with all of these Husky fans. And they got up at a certain time at kickoff and took their hats off, and they're doing certain actions. I'm going, like, what are they doing? And they looked at me like, what am I doing here? What's he doing here? I didn't know their actions. I didn't wear the right colors. They made me completely feel like I did not belong one bit. They didn't welcome me. and I didn't know how to fit in. In fact, I look back, I felt more comfortable at the bar where someone could weep and celebrate with someone than I did at a football game where I realized I didn't look. And I think that the Pharisees and Sadducees in this story were more like the Husky football stadium where you know there's certain people that fit and certain people that don't fit. There's certain actions, there's certain clothing, there's certain things. They would be more like the Pharisees and Sadducees in the story than Jesus, who welcomed sinners, welcomed people into their home, welcomed people into their life. And to confront this attitude of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus told a parable. Parables are stories. They're short stories with one primary reason to tell it. And I think the reason Jesus told these three stories is because Jesus welcomes everyone to relationship with him. It's Easter. Easter at its greatest are these three stories. Let's walk through them together. First story, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. I want to talk about today the truths regarding, real quick, the lost sheep. A, something valuable was lost. There was a lost sheep. Something valuable. What? One is lost out of 100. That's 1%. Now, if you're a farmer and you know that you have a chance to get 1% more profit back if you leave the 99 to go after the one, wouldn't you do it? This story, something valuable is lost. Secondly, the lost is found. They found the lost sheep. And thirdly, the found is rejoiced over. The story says they called the neighbors, and wouldn't you call your neighbors and say, I found him. Would you come celebrate with me? And there's a statement then, D, a statement regarding the joy of heaven that says this: I tell you the truth. In the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. I love how Spellcheck put reports, because how many know that every one of us, when you repent, it's reporting to God to say, God, I come to you. And I need you. But the statement of heaven is there's more joy in heaven over one person who comes to Jesus than 99 people who don't. Now, here's the bonus truth of this story. Bonus truth. The sheep knew it was lost, but did not know how to find its way back. The sheep knew it was lost, but did not know how to find its way back. I think about that. You know, the sheep, if it wanders off, it knows it wandered off, but it has no clue how to come back. You know, Blaise Pascal, a philosopher in the 16th century, wrote, hundreds of years ago, he wrote, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man, and only God can fill it. I believe there's some of you listening today, whether you're watching online at a correctional facility or you're watching on the CBS viewing at 2 o'clock here and in the interior, you're watching in a home or you're driving down the road right now, there are some of you right now that you know deep inside you're lost, but you don't know how to come home. You don't know how to find your way home. But you know that relationships haven't filled you. You know that the money hasn't fulfilled you. There's a part of you struggling knowing something. In fact, Paul said it this way: you were made by God and for God. If you haven't found God yet, maybe you're like the lost sheep. Let me tell you something: when something lost is found, there's rejoicing in heaven over that. But maybe you didn't know you're lost. The story goes on in Luke chapter 15 and says this: or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends. She puts it on Instagram. She puts it on Facebook. She might be a Snapchatter. Who knows? And she does an Instagram story. I found it. And so she rejoice with me. I've found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, this is believed in that culture that this woman would represent the woman who's waiting for her groom to come. She's been engaged, and those 10 silver coins were her betrothal. They were paid to her family, and she had to have it in possession for her to be married when her fiance comes back to marry her because he's finished the house he built on the end of his parents' home. And without those 10 coins, you don't get married. But let's unpack this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're watching this. Let's unpack it this morning. Truths regarding the lost coin. Number one, A, something valuable is lost. One is lost out of 10. That's 10%. Now, how many want to know? One out of 100 is 1%. One out of 10 is 10%. How many can afford to lose 10% of what you have right now? You know, because this COVID crisis, some of you maybe lost 10% of your retirement like that. It was gone. I don't know. But one in 10, it's valuable. This story shows there's value. One in 10 is lost. And the second truth is the lost is found. This woman sought. She seeked at. She searched after. She found the lost coin. And then the story goes on. See, and the found is rejoiced over. It's the same pattern. Look, the same pattern as the lost sheep. Something valuable is lost. The lost is found. The found is rejoiced over. Indeed, the statement regarding the joy of heaven. If you read the scriptures, it says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is a story Jesus is telling because the religious people of the day are like, why is Jesus welcoming? Why is he spending? Why does he hang out with sinners and tax collectors? Why doesn't he hang out with us? So he begins to tell the story. And here's the bonus truth. The bonus truth about the coin. The coin didn't know it was lost. You know, I made a mention earlier, a moment ago, that the sheep knew it was lost but didn't know how to come home. This coin didn't know he was lost. You know what's amazing is even in America today, there are some folks who don't realize that we're lost. Outside of a relationship with Jesus, and I'll share it in a moment. I'll give you an opportunity to make a decision to follow the Jesus that I'm talking about right here. But friends, outside of a relationship with Jesus, here's the reality. Here's the reality, and that's this. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of all of your lives. There was a day you did not exist, but there'll never be a day now that you don't exist. You're eternal beings. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, you started an eternal existence. You'll either spend eternity with God someday, or you'll spend eternity in hell someday. You may say, I don't know, Mark. I don't know if that's true. Well, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, the Bible says. Jesus came to welcome people because here's the reality. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no hope outside of a relationship with Jesus. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. A wage is something you earn for what you do. If you're watching this today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, and maybe you've never heard that you had to, maybe you're like the coin where you don't even know that you're lost. Maybe you're watching and you're like the sheep. You know you're lost, but you don't know how to come home. I'm gonna tell you how to do that. Or maybe you're watching today and you don't even know you're lost. And then there's a third story. And Jesus continues in Luke chapter 14. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. And I want to go back and look at that scripture we just had up here a moment ago. It said Jesus he had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Give me my share of the estate." In other words, I want you to get your investors. I want you to get those that have your 401k. I want you to bring all of that together, and I want my share of the estate now. And he divided his property between them. Between who? His two sons. And then it says that again, he went off and squandered all that money, all of his inheritance in a distant country. He squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, how should this story go? Jesus shares parables because a parable has a profound point to make. We've seen there's a trend here. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and now there's what? There's a lost son. And we would assume it should go the way the rest of the earlier parables would go. It would go like this. Something valuable is lost. He squandered his wild living. He left and he walked away from the father. And how many want to know one is lost out of two in this story? That's 50%. How many know if you're losing 50%, you'd be concerned? And you as a dad or an owner would say, wait a second here, I'm losing half. This father was lost half of his family. Something valuable is lost. Secondly, you'd assume that the lost is found. Thirdly, you'd assume if he goes along with everything else that the found is rejoiced over. And D, the statement regarding heaven. But that's not what this parable says. This is the point of the parable. Everything shifts here. It doesn't go to excitement. It doesn't go to the lost is found and there's rejoicing and a statement of heaven. Rather, the parable is addressing the heart of who? The religious teachers and Pharisees who questioned why Jesus could hang out with sinners. So in this story, it goes on in Luke chapter 15 and says this, after we spent everything, here we go, after we had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. What? The young man spent everything. One of the sons had spent, I don't know what everything means for you. I looked it up in the Greek language. It means everything. It means everything. He didn't have two pennies to rub together anymore. He squandered his entire inheritance, lost it all. And it says there was a severe famine in the whole country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. Could you imagine? Could you imagine having everything and losing everything? He had everything. He had a home and a dad who loved him, gave him everything. And he went and squandered it. And at the end of it all, he had nothing. I don't know what your life looks like when you kind of settle everything and move the little beads on the hibiscus. And all of a sudden you realize there's no more beads to move. You've lost everything. And he's feeding pigs. And he longed just to eat a little bit of food that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. It says this, and when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. Would you welcome me?'" is what he's saying. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Here's the bonus truth. Bonus truth, and I want to unpack this a little bit. The bonus truth is this: the son knew he was lost, and he knew how to get home. The son knew he was lost and knew how to get home. Maybe you're watching today and you're far from God. I don't know your story. I don't know if you got a zig in your zag. I don't know if you got hurt by the church. I don't know if you got hurt by people in the church. I don't know if you, I don't know if you just can't figure God out. I can't figure the internet out, but does it make the internet real? If I was to grab a rose and say, I don't understand how something so beautiful has thorns, and I peeled it back petal by petal, it doesn't cease to be a rose because I pick it apart and I pull it all apart. God doesn't cease to be God because you don't understand him. But all I know is this: the son, maybe you knew God at one time, but you ran away and you know your way home. This story is a story about Jesus who welcomes sinners. Whether you know you're lost, whether you don't know you're lost, whether you're lost and know your way back or don't know your way back, this story is a story of a father like Jesus, who wants to welcome you into his family. Luke chapter 15, it says, verse 20, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I want to pause here. Every day, the father got up. I think he stood on his balcony, on his porch, and he was looking for the son to come. He got up, and there's a lot of days the son didn't come. There's a lot of days the son squandered his life on wild living and partying hard and all those things. But one day, the father gets up, and The father looks a long way off and he sees his father. Now, here's where the story shifts, because what we don't read about, and I don't have time to unpack it for you today, is there's another brother in this story. He's the older brother. And his older brother comes to the father, because when the father embraces his son, He tells his servant, go slaughter the fattened calf. Let's have a party. My son is back. Let's celebrate. But the older brother comes back and he goes, Dad, I've been with you all the time. I've followed all your rules. I've done everything you wanted me to do. And you never slaughtered a fattened calf for me, much less even a goat. Why? He gets angry. And he pouts. He doesn't want to come to the party. You know what God is addressing? The attitude of the church people here, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who are part of the Father's house, but don't understand the Father's heart. Maybe you're watching online and you've been to church all your life and you wonder, like, well, I've done it all right. I've done all those things. And you know something? Great, great, good job. You've done what God wants you to do. But maybe you want to go, how come they make a big deal about live streaming in the prisons? And how come they say they'll do anything short of sin at True North to reach people who don't know Jesus? Why? Because like the father, we're on the porch and there's a son out there. And I can tell you right now, one son dying without the father's heart is too much. And the father addresses the son in Luke chapter 15. He says, my son, the father said, you were always with me and everything I have is yours, but we have to celebrate and we had to be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. In other words, don't question why we welcome this brother of yours. We welcome him because he was lost and he's found. And we have to celebrate that, son. Now, where does that leave you and I? I don't know where you're at today. But like I said earlier, there's an expiration date on the milk carton of every one of your lives. We're not promised tomorrow. As of this filming today, 14,000 people in the last 3 weeks have died from a pandemic. But can I tell you what's even greater than the pandemic that we're experiencing right now? It's what sin does. Sin separates all of us from Jesus. Sin puts us in a place where we'll lose our life and never have hope outside of a Father who comes to welcome you as his sons and daughters, welcomes you into the family, stands on the porch of life and says, you might have squandered everything. You might have thrown it all away. You might have known you were lost but didn't know how to come home. You might have not even known you're lost, or you might have known you're lost and knew how to come home, but you haven't come home yet. There's a Father in heaven. His name is Jesus, who died for you. See, here's what Easter's all about. Easter is all about Jesus taking death, which is a dead end, and turn it into the end of death. Say it again. Easter is all about Jesus taking death, which is a dead end, and making it the end of death. That's why John chapter 11, it says, if you live and believe in me, you'll never, though you die, yet you live. What does that mean? Jesus died on the cross for you and I. We've all sinned, the Bible says. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all taken a cookie from the cookie jar of life. And someone said no. Sin is when you violate God's best for your life. Sin is when you make choices that separate you from God. See, here's the deal. There's three things we have to know to get to heaven. I call it the ABCs here at True North Church. It's important once for men to die, and after that to face judgment. My question is, do you know for sure if you died today, you'll make heaven? You'll have a relationship with Jesus. Because again, you're eternal beings. There's a day you didn't exist. There'll never be a day now you don't exist. The ABCs of heaven. A, admit. Admit you've sinned. The Bible says, confess your sins, and Jesus is faithful and just to forgive you. He forgives sinners. He welcomes sinners. You don't have to clean up for God. He'll clean you up. You don't have to get dressed up for God. He died on the cross for you, whether you're dressed up or not. You don't have to have enough church for God. It's not that bad. You just have to admit you've sinned, and God will forgive you. Number two, B, believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your life. A, admit. B, believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son on Easter, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will not perish. You're perishing. You're dying. You're lost outside of belief in Jesus Christ. A, admit you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And C, confess Jesus as Lord of your life. The Bible says that confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Confess Jesus as Lord. In other words, Lord, I make you the life leader of my life. A relationship with Jesus starts by A, B, C. Admit, believe, and confess. And wherever you're at right now, I want you to pause. Whether you're watching on CBS, whether you're watching on live stream in a bedroom, or you're driving down the road right now, whether you're watching it right now on live stream or on demand, or you're watching in a correctional facility, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes wherever you're at right now. I want to pray with you. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, simply pray this prayer with me silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned, but you welcome sinners. You keep the light on like Hotel 6 for me. I admit I've sinned, but Jesus, today I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and you were buried and you rose from death, hell, and the grave, because death is no longer a dead end. Because of your death on the cross, you put an end to death. So I admit, I believe, and today I confess you as the Lord of my life. Please be my Savior and my life leader. Help me serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.